The number is 80. That's how many generals and admirals have now been removed from the promotion pipeline under Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. This week, he pulled additional Army officers from the two-star promotion list, extending a pattern that began in the early months of this administration. An Army Secretary, Dan Driscoll, resigned Monday, which is the most senior civilian departure from the Pentagon since Hegseth took office.
I want to put the 80 number in historical context because it's important. The United States military has roughly 40 active duty four-star generals and admirals at any given time. The two-star level, Major General and Rear Admiral, is where career officers who have already demonstrated exceptional performance get vetted for senior command. Removing more than 80 from the promotion pathway over the course of roughly 18 months is not a routine personnel action. It's a structural reshaping of the senior officer corps.
The administration's stated rationale has been removing officers who don't share the commander-in-chief's priorities, which in practice has meant officers associated with DEI programs, officers who testified before Congress in ways the administration found unfavorable, and in some cases officers with long records of joint interoperability that the current leadership apparently views as insufficiently hawkish.
Driscoll's resignation is significant because Army secretaries typically don't quit. They're political appointees who serve at the pleasure of the president, and departing mid-tenure signals either a policy dispute or an environment that's become untenable. The Army is currently managing simultaneous deployments, a personnel retention crisis that predates this administration, and equipment resupply commitments to Ukraine, all while its civilian leadership is in flux.
There's a longer-term institutional question here that military historians take seriously. What happens to the learning capacity of an institution when you remove the officers who have accumulated the most operational experience? The generals being purged aren't rookies. They're people who have spent 25 to 30 years acquiring knowledge about combined arms operations, coalition warfare, and strategic planning. Removing them doesn't delete what they know, but it does remove that knowledge from the decision-making pipeline, precisely when multiple conflicts are active.
And the civil-military relationship dimension is real. The American tradition of civilian control of the military is foundational, and I want to be careful not to suggest that civilian overseers shouldn't have authority over promotions. They absolutely do. But the scale and the apparent ideological filtering mechanism here is something that former service chiefs from both parties have commented on with concern. When retired four-star generals start speaking publicly about institutional damage, that's a signal worth noting.
Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, the House is scheduled to vote on a constitutional amendment that would explicitly cap the Supreme Court at 9 justices. This is a direct legislative response to ongoing debates about court expansion, and it connects to Hegseth's situation in an interesting way. Both stories involve a contest over who controls powerful institutions and whether those institutions can be insulated from political transformation.
The amendment faces a steep road. Constitutional amendments require 2/3 of both chambers and ratification by 3/4 of states. But the vote itself is politically useful for Republicans as a way to put Democrats on record opposing the cap, and useful for Democrats as a way to argue that court packing anxiety is itself the point. Neither side actually expects passage, both sides want the vote.